Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of Bullets and Bourbon. I'm joined here with my co-host Frank Gao, and we have returning guest from since the beginning of the dawn of time of this podcast, Chris Scott. I really don't need to make an introduction, as everybody kind of knows who Chris is that's been listening to this podcast for a while. But just a quick intro, Chris and I served together on the Marine Corps shooting team. He got out. He works now as an event coordinator for Sig Sauer. And he's going to be talking to us everything about Sig Sauer and everything they kind of have coming up on the event side. So, Chris, can you before we get into the more of the core stuff, can you give us more of an update on your life? You moved to New Hampshire, you have had a baby. What can you tell us about all that?
Well, first off, thanks for having me on again, and it's just fun to chat with you and Frank. But quite a bit of life has changed since the last one. I think the last podcast I was on recorded that in Arizona, and I was living in a bus at that point, my in-laws' driveway. So it's changed for sure. We have a daughter now. Name's Rylan. She's just about to be 6 months old. We moved out to New Hampshire. Kind of did like the whole birth and move out at the same time, which would not recommend, and probably not going to do that again. But brought the wife and kids out here. Now we're living in Manchester, New Hampshire. I had never even been to or heard of Manchester or even thought of New Hampshire before I got this job, but it's been a big shift. But we really like it. Working on getting some more sleep. I think daughters don't do the sleep regression a little bit. So just a lot of family and personal life changes. It's been really good.
I'm assuming it's pretty cold up there, given the time of year. Does it remind you a little bit of back home in Minnesota?
Thankfully so far this year it's been a little mild, compared, I guess, what it normally is. But yeah, definitely pulling out the winter jacket again. That was in storage for a while. But yeah, it feels a little bit like home, Minnesota, just more hilly and a little less cold.
So, kind of going back into some of the family stuff, you and I, we talk quite frequently, and I just remember, something that we talked about before, and to paraphrase, it was when you were single and didn't have kids, you really didn't put much emphasis on time off and ensuring the guys got more time off to spend with their families while on the shooting team. Now that you have a daughter, your perspective has completely changed a bit. And I'm kind of asking this question for other Marine officers and, senior leaders in the Marine Corps who don't have kids, but have Marines that have kids. How has your perspective changed in about that subject now?
Yeah, I think it definitely would have been helpful to have gone through that experience while I was still active duty. I remember, like, yeah, this guy's on the team, like, I gotta leave early, like, gotta pick my daughter from daycare, or they're closing daycare down, I can't, like, come to work today. And in my mind, I was like, come on, stop using your kids as an excuse, like, you gotta show up to work. Being on the other side of it now, I've definitely teleworked because my daughter's daycare closed and I had to cover for it. I've definitely left early because they're closing early. And it just shifted my priorities on like wanting to get home and like not eat every meal at the chow hall at work just for fun. It's definitely made me become a lot more sympathetic to people with kids who are balancing work life and family life.
No, it makes sense. And, it's a hard balance that it takes people to learn. It's and for people who don't have kids, they don't understand what that balance is or what it's like. So I kind of wanted to talk about this stuff first, just because it is an important subject that kind of gets overlooked with so many Marines that are in the Marine Corps. But the last time we spoke, we talked about how you're working at Sig now. What exactly do you do for SIG?
So my official title is like competition program specialist, which doesn't really tell anything about what I do. But essentially I'm run matches for SIG. We have a pretty robust match program that we're doing now. And if it's the shooting competition, we run it, or we're the coordinating if other people run shooting competitions here, essentially turn into a full-time match director. It's probably the easiest way to put it. Just like any other job, there's a lot of other things that go into that, but a lot of what a match director would do is my day-to-day. Yeah, it's been pretty fun, but it's really jumping into the deep end on the match directing side after the military there.
Would you consider this like one of those dream jobs?
Oh yeah, there's a reason we moved from Arizona to New Hampshire while my wife is pregnant / delivering. It's an opportunity to turn down. Yeah, we're actually, let's see, I took about a year off from working after I got out of the military. So we did quite a bit of traveling, and we were driving from Virginia. We actually just got done shooting some of the Marine Corps competitions during my reserve time, and we're driving to Minnesota, and I got a call about a potential job opportunity, and my wife was in the car with me, and when I hung up, immediately she's like, yep, let's do it. So it was I didn't even have to ask her. It was pretty amazing. But it just felt like the right thing to do and where it's supposed to be. And there's no way you could turn down a job where, like, I essentially get to continue doing what I did on the shooting team with guys that I was on the shooting team with.
I remember getting that same call and I had to turn it down. Not because I wanted to. It's just I'm established and, you know, what would be considered your dream job might not be my dream job. I'm kind of established and I'm loving what I do now. And plus, you know, with where I'm living, it's like I'm in a perfect location. So I'm glad that that all worked out and that you got that position. And now you're able to continue doing what you're really good at. And, you know, you're not just a great shooter. You know, everybody knows Chris Scott is an amazing shooter. You know, we travel around on the Marine Corps shooting team, and basically, like, Chris is going to be either the guy who wins the competition or he's going to be in the top five. But what they never saw is the passion behind running the matches, or, you know, designing the matches and just making all the pieces fit together. And you were really good at that. So it's only fitting that you're continuing to do that in the civilian side.
Yeah, it kind of worked out. Other options would be like teleworking and finance, and not a bad line of work, but it would have been not the same amount of passion behind it. Yeah. So really glad.
Yeah. No, totally. But how much of what you do now actually translate into what you did in the military?
It's shockingly similar, which has made it a great transition. I just went out to lunch with Scott Rader and Sam Moreno right before this, and we were just talking about how similar some aspects of working here are to when we were in the military. I think that helps out a lot with that transition out. I mean, granted, I had some time to kind of work through what my transition was for me before I jumped back into the workforce. But being in a company where it's like a lot of like-minded people really has made that easy for me. But yeah, as far as like when we would run the mix back on the team, like a lot of coordination with like the host site leadership, training up people to be like range officers, and then also like trying to develop that like the local matches at those different ranges that we worked with in the Marine Corps, a lot of that's pretty similar here. Like we're building up our volunteer base, building up people's knowledge as ROs, like hosting RO seminars. We're going to be going down to, and I'll talk about this a little later, but like going down to Florida and running a match. So we're kind of working with the host site there to get everything squared away before we run the match. So it's a lot of it's really similar. And then just dealing with people. We did a lot of that on the team, a lot of that in the military as a whole. And so that relationship development definitely carried over to this job too.
No, I mean, you're fitting in exactly where you need to be, and I kind of can't wait to see the kind of growth that it offers you. It's pretty cool to see that transition piece work out, and you know, see everything that goes into it. Now, are you down to the level of like you are tracking budgets and you know what comes in, what goes out, all that kind of stuff as well?
Yeah, very similar to on the team in that aspect too. I know we're always like trying to squeeze every last dollar out of that budget that kept getting smaller each year.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, at SIG here, we have quite a few resources, and I feel like really enabled to do a lot, which is great. But definitely tracking like the profitability of the matches, building out the schedules for the next year, figuring out like what makes sense to run or what numbers we need to hit. It's a lot of those same things carried over, and it's actually something I really enjoyed about being on the team. So it's fun to be able to make spreadsheets and track numbers again, as lame as that sounds.
Now, you know, while on the team, you and I were like the, you know, I was like your right-hand man in many cases, just like Scott Rader was as well. Do you have that same type of support, somebody who supports you in planning and coming up with everything?
Yeah, so it's me, and then Derek Kuzingera is the guy who works with me. So we're the two competitions guys at the Academy. We run everything together. Like I couldn't do any of this. Like, well, I'm not really doing it. We're doing it. So, he's been crucial. He's there counting in stakes for a match at like 10 PM for the next morning's match with me. Yeah, it's pretty great. He's, we got hired on at the same time too. So he's a local from New Hampshire here. Has some competitive shooting background in mainly USPSA, and yeah, we put on matches together. Pretty great. It's nice having that support.
Yeah. I mean, all the ideas doesn't just come from one person. It's generally a team effort that makes things go smoothly. But is there anything that you wish you knew back then that you know now that you would have loved to have to make things a little bit more efficient?
Yeah, so there are some like just aspects of like using technology, which I'm still trying to get better at doing. But I think there's a lot of that I am using now, or like really have to use now, that I think would have helped on the team. I think on the team it was so much, and just being a weapons training battalion too, so much of a relational area, where you'd spend a lot of time building those relationships or just talking with people, which I really loved that aspect of it. But I think sometimes that kind of came at the cost of like efficiency. Like, you could sit there and chat with somebody for like a couple hours, and you're not necessarily, you're building a relationship, which is very important, but you're not, maybe not using the hours best in the day. Whereas here, like a lot of like virtual meetings, just some of the like the project management software, I think that helps out quite a bit, helps gain that efficiency that I didn't necessarily always need to have before. But I think what's really been helpful here is just like the ease of getting things. Compared to the military, I know like our acquisition process is always lengthy,
long and drawn out.
Yeah, like we needed at one point.
It took us what, 9 months from start to finish to get pistols, open purchase. Well, not open purchase, but a contract with CZ at the time. And that was pretty quick in many respects. We had to get a three-star general involved in order to get those purchased.
Yeah, it's a little different here now. Like we're getting three new bays built on the range so that we can help us host these larger matches, and that's been like, I believe they're working on them right now. So it's been months. Whereas military putting like three new bays or a new range on Weapons Training Battalion would be a more drawn out process than that.
Well, do you remember that one time where we brought Dank down and we were looking at the area behind Pistol Comp and everything, and we were like, we want to open this back up and potentially train here. Oh, well, you can't do that because it's this, like it was nothing but red flags. And you know, nothing against Dank and the job that he does, because he's looking at nothing but safety on a military installation. But in order to get anything done, you're right, it just jumps right through every hoop that there is.
Yeah, it's here we have a lot of people that are, they do their job and not as much like outside of that, so they can really focus on their job. And I feel like that makes things go a lot faster and just a lot less red tape than, huge government organization, obviously. So yeah, that's been really helpful. And even just like being able to buy tools on a credit card, like that wasn't that easy on the team. Or we can go to Lowe's and pick up like stage supplies where you don't need to wait for like months for a lumber order to that's been helpful.
Yeah, I've experienced that a little bit since I took over QSC. I don't have as big of a budget as I'm imagining you have, but the ability to just put stuff on the QSC credit card is, and the guys on the team are all, they're very jealous of it. They like, it's like, you can just go to Home Depot and buy stuff. Like, yeah, I do it all the time. So that's really nice. Matt did mention your legacy as a shooter, and you are, you have a reputation in both three gun and USPSA. And I'm curious, and I want to talk about the matches. But how have you been able to maintain that as you became a father and became a match director? Because one of the first things that Tim Hitchcock said to me is your individual performance at these matches you put on is going to suffer. And I've seen it like a lot of the time, half the time, I won't even shoot the match because there's all this other stuff going on. And I'd rather just make sure that all the shooters get through and they have a good match rather than myself. So how has that been for you?
Yeah, it's for sure taking a hit. And I don't want to like make excuses for my poor performance, because there are some match directors who perform very well. But especially in the beginning here, like we're trying to build up a program, it definitely has to be the priority of like making sure the event goes well. So we didn't shoot for quite a while, and we've started trickling in. We're like, Derek and I will try to kind of hand off certain areas to each other so we can shoot the match. But yeah, like you said, your focus is not on your performance, and it's really hard to get in the zone. I have enjoyed hopping in on some matches and shooting, but yeah, as far as my personal performance or like maintaining my like competition hobby, it's suffered quite a bit, but I also have it like pretty great compared to a lot of people. Like I can shoot matches at work on the clock essentially. So like that's, it's pretty great. Like it's really easy to complain and look at like from your point of view. Like even on the team, I complain about stuff all the time, or people complain about stuff all the time on the team. It's like, dude, you are training like at work for free with ammo. Like there's still a lot of that here. But I'm definitely much more of a match director than I am a competitor. So it's been a shift.
And it makes sense. And I think as you get, more time and more of a rhythm underneath you, then eventually I think you'll get to the point where you can kind of balance those things out a little bit. But yeah, you're starting something completely new. So What does your match schedule look like at SIG? I mean, I imagine with how popular that facility is and all the amenities that you have, that you're able to fill out most of the weekends in a month. Is that correct?
With that popularity comes us having to compete with other organizations within the academy, or just like they're running classes here all the time, or there are like non-competition events going on, where the ranges will be booked for that. It's very similar to the military, where like you go in a RIFMIS and see like what's available. Like, crap, TBS using this to train this week, can't do that. We run into the same thing, but most weekends we have a match. It'll either be Saturday and then a different match on Sunday, or sometimes we'll do the same match over 2 days. So 1 to 2 matches a weekend, and then we typically do like a week night match, and sometimes 2 week night matches. So we're sitting somewhere between 2 to 3 matches a week throughout the month, of varying different sports. Yeah, I guess we hit about 10 a month. I looked up the numbers because I got kind of curious. Since I joined here, I think we ran like 57 matches. And I've been working here about 6 months.
I got
Yeah.
one question. I know when you first started working there's a bunch of different types of matches there. Some were popular, some were not. How did you decide what matches stayed and which ones just had to go?
At the end of the day, like, we're a business, so it comes down to financial for a lot of it. Yeah, we looked at some of our matches that, like, we had a bullseye pistol match, and I know Matt is gonna just like make you smile. But we had a bullseye pistol match. It just wasn't bringing in the attendance that our other matches were, so we couldn't justify committing those resources to running a match that weren't financially viable. So we ended up moving away from that. And then we also, more recently, like, we had a IDPA match that we'd host monthly, and it just wasn't bringing in the same attendance either. So we ended up transitioning away from that too. Yeah, so it really comes down to if the matches are filling out. Like, I have my personal preferences as a competitor. But if, like, a ton of people want to show up and shoot some other sport, like, we'll run it. We just need the attendance and for it to make financial sense.
What formats have been your most successful ones?
USPSA, I'd say, is number one, with a very close second being BCSL two gun. The two gun, we started doing that in August. And I think we've sold out each match, but maybe not that first one. We actually had to expand to running that as a Saturday Sunday match, and because of range limitations, we can only shoot suppressed rifles or pistol calipers on Sundays here. So there still are the limitations, even though out of the military. But even with those limitations on Sundays, we're like still filling up those matches for two guns. So that's a really popular format that people like. And then, let's see, after that, this one's newer, but and I can go into a little more detail kind of when we talk about what we have coming up this year. But like, our kind of what we shifted away from IDPA to is like a PCSL type based carry gun match, and that's been pretty popular too. But yeah, USPSA is the big one.
With you guys, getting rid of certain matches that were less popular, and then bringing on these other matches or hosting these other matches, have you seen any cross-pollination from the disciplines that have went away to the people coming to the other matches? Or were you able to track any of that?
Yeah, so I'm not sure about bullseye, but I never even ran one of those matches. It's just when I came in, I saw the attendance, and then who was registered for our next one, and we decided to pull it. So I can't speak as well on that one. But as far as like IDPA, I have noticed some of the same IDPA guys coming out to the EDC match. And granted, we've run one indoor EDC match so far, and we have the other one registrations open and sold out with a huge wait list. But it does seem like people have come from that. With PCSL two gun, and I'm sure a lot of other people are seeing this are running, like Frank, you're running a PCSL match, right?
Yeah, we're running one in 2 weeks.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. So maybe you could say if you've seen the same thing, but like I've noticed that it's definitely brought in a different crowd. Like we're bringing in more of like the tactical minded training type crowd. But at the same time, we aren't losing our USPSA crowd.
Yeah.
So we're getting like both coming out, which is amazing for us.
It's an interesting confluence of the gamers and the tactical crowd. But I think, I mean, for what I'm seeing in terms of PCSL's allure is people want to shoot hit factor rifle. Do you agree with that? Is that what you think is bringing all these people in for PCSL?
I think for our area, there's not a ton of rifle matches, period. So I think we're drawing a lot of people who, some people don't really know what hit factor is before or don't necessarily shoot sports that have that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're getting a lot of people just like, sweet, I get to use my rifle in a practical shooting match. Especially with three guns, not that popular up here. So there's really no like way to use your rifle like that. But I am getting it from the USPSA crowd that they really like the hit factor aspect of it.
Yeah, for sure. So coming into the that facility, how easy was it for you to establish like a monthly rhythm? So you have all these different disciplines that you put on, and typically it works best when it's on the same weekend of the month, like first or second weekend. So how have you kind of massaged that, deconflicting with other matches that might be in the area? And have you guys settled on a rhythm at this point?
The idea of having a rhythm is really nice, and that's about all I have.
Okay.
Yeah, there's just a lot of things going on in the academy where we're competing for resources. I'm on like my third or fourth iteration of the 2024 schedule. So it definitely changes quite a bit. In 2023, I got there like end of May, and then I was like teleworking in Arizona for a bit. So it's kind of this weird thing. But Derek and I worked on like making a schedule, and we kicked that off in August. So we tried to keep things on similar weekends. But honestly, there's a lot of demand in this area for practical shooting. So we've like thrown a USPSA match on the schedule with like, I want to say like 2 weeks out, and it's sold out. So like
gotcha.
The demand is so high, it's a little hard to realize if like having it on the same weekend is beneficial or not. But as far as like deconfliction, I know we had like a section meeting with the other USPSA clubs, probably coming up around a month ago now. And there was some like attempt to deconflict there. Really like the main one we try and make sure we're not running on the same weekend is like we have a very popular club that's like 45 minutes away from us, and it's just in nobody's best interest for us to be overlapping. So we do try and deconflict when we can, and I went and practice score before I made the whole schedule, like try to find every match in the area, and then like you find out, oh, a lot of these matches didn't put their matches up on practice score, or it's set as private, or just like me, they added new matches later on. And so you do what you can, but it's hard to avoid them all.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, hopefully you guys get into some kind of rhythm in the future. Let's talk about some of the large matches that you guys have signed up for. Now Area 7's coming to a 6-hour academy. So what's it like? I mean, you and Matt put on a really great match at championships. So you're no stranger to big matches. But how did the discussions, how did you get involved with some of these larger matches? And what does that planning cycle look like so far?
Yeah, so one of the big things that helped kick off a lot of these bigger matches, like Phil Strader's the I believe official title is Director of Operations for the Academy. So Phil Strader, obviously multi-time nationals champion, also was the president of USPSA. So just a little bit invested in the shooting sports. So that kind of under his direction helped really accelerate our drive towards running these larger matches. And then also just from a like an economy of effort standpoint, you can build, and you've probably seen this too, but like you can spend a lot of time building stages for a local match, and you're going to get the amount of people that would come to a local match. Or you can spend, it's more work, but it's like not proportionally more work, and build a major match, and a lot more people will come. And one of our goals is to really drive traffic to the academy, and it's called the SIG Experience Center. It's like the building I'm sitting in now. And there's really this drive to make this like a hub for people who just like want to experience shooting. So if we can run these larger matches, it helps meet our goals of getting more people through here.
Yeah, that makes sense. Area matches get anywhere from sometimes 400 to 500 people shooting. So yeah, that'd be big for you guys. I mean, we've interviewed other people from the Marine Corps shooting team who have transitioned over to work for SIG. Notably, I mean, we haven't interviewed Scott Rader, but we've talked to Sam Marino. How much interaction do you have with the academy side of the house?
So a decent amount. It really varies based on the tempo. I will say like right now we are probably working like with our matches. We're off to like we're doing our match thing, and then the instruction side is another thing. And there is some overlap there, but we're trying to create a stronger bond there. And really, me, Sam, and Scott working together before has helped that quite a bit. Like myself and Derek, my coworker, we went through a day of training from Scott and Sam through one of their like shooting senior classes, which is their competition classes that they've written, just to help us see like what they're doing so that we can sell their classes better to our customers. So we're trying to just keep building more and more of those bonds between the instruction side and our side. But like on a day to day, it's not as much interaction with instructors as maybe somebody would think from the outside. But hopefully in a year that's what looks a little different.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's a lot of opportunity there, especially with you guys having worked together before. So for events like outside organizations that come in, and maybe it's a blend of the instruction side, but also like the event coordination side, like for example, the Adaptive Defense Shooting Summit. Is that mostly the academy that's handling that? Do you on your side handle that a little bit? And then is there anything you can tell us about that particular event?
So kind of the, I guess like the term like academy and like we're all like one big thing here. So it's the there's like the our store like the SEC, but then like the academy, we fall under the academy also. So it's I guess we're kind of like one in the same there. But something like that does require more coordination between like the different entities within the academy, because there's some instruction pieces too. And we've done that with other matches before also, where like myself and Derek are kind of managing the overall framework of what's going on. And then the instructors are providing classes within that framework. But the ADSS is a little different than like the matches we run because they're an outside organization. Like we weren't the match director for that. They were essentially like using our ranges to host their event, and then we were providing support for them. And we get that happening quite a bit. Like that one we're a little more involved with, but we'll get other organizations come in where they really just like are renting the range, for lack of a better term. We might provide some safety structure, but that's about it.
Okay. Yeah, good to know. If someone is part of a outside organization that is looking to use your guys' ranges and your facilities to host an event, what's the best way? Like who's the best person to contact at SIG Academy to try to get something like that started up?
Yeah, so if it's like something competition related, I'd be the best person to talk to. If it's like more of a like corporate event, or some sort of team building, anything else outside of competitions, really my like boss Caroline Schmidt would be the person to reach out to. But to make it easy, like anybody just can reach out to me and I can put them in contact with the right person.
Okay, great. At this point, I mean, we've talked a lot about what you're doing over there, but anything else you want to tell us about what you have coming up in this year, 2024?
Yeah. So pretty excited about 2024. 2023 is just trying to keep my head above the water and make sure I didn't drown, which inhaled a little water sometimes, but was overall able to keep my head above water. But 2024, I feel like we're really able to plan out for and kind of have some of the better established relationships now. So kind of the first thing we have coming up here is we're running a called our EDC Championship. It's a match that we've run before here at the Academy, but we came out with a new rule set. So this is kind of what I was alluding to earlier, like our what we shifted to away from IDPA just because of attendance. So it's PCSL based. You can score it either hit factor or time plus points. And it's really designed around carry guns. So we did a whole bunch of Googling and came up with some box dimensions where we're trying to fit a lot of the common carry guns into two different boxes. So we have the micro compact divisions. And that box is really built around a, I wish I could get the lights off in here. That box is really built around a P365 XL. So pretty small gun. So if you have a gun up to that size, you can use it in that division. We also have a cutout on the top. So if you have an optic on your gun, you can use it also. But there's no need to use a SIG product. If you have another brand of gun that fits in that box, you can use it too. And then the next size up is kind of built around like the P320 compact, or like the Glock 19 is obviously like a really common carry gun. And we call that our compact division. So if you have any gun up to that size, you can use it. The actual match kind of looks like a USPSA match. But that was kind of our goal. Like we didn't want you to have to shoot a dumbed down match just because you use a carry gun. We want people to race with guns just like they would at a USPSA match, but with their actual carry gear. So we ran one of these matches at our indoor range here, and it was really weird walking around a match. You don't see any guns because like everybody's just like carrying appendix mainly,
right?
And they're walking around, and then it's their time to shoot, and they load, make ready, and it's like, oh, he actually has a gun on. That's pretty cool. And it looked very similar to a USPSA match, but shot on PCSL targets under mainly the PCSL rulebook. So we're running that down in Florida in second weekend of February. So it's gonna be like February 10th and 11th. It's at our we have a range down there that we work with where we hold academy classes.
It's Volusia, right?
Yeah. They had IPSC Nationals there.
We shot IPSC Nationals, and we had some bays that we rented out and walked around, and there were like SIG signs on them, and we're like, aha.
Yeah, they have a presence down there, and it's coming along pretty well down there, so they just keep building it up. So we're to kind of help that. We're going to be hosting a match down there. It's going to be 10 stages. One day format, trying to sell it, like especially people coming from like the Northeast or the Northern states, like You can go down, you can shoot the match in one day. You're 30 minutes from the beach, you're right next to Orlando. You go to Disney World if you want, like make a whole vacation out of it. But that's a going to be a one day format, 10 stages. We limit the stages to 24 rounds. Just the thought behind that is if you're shooting a P365XL, you have 12 round mags. You can shoot the whole course, fire 2 mags. And if you want to play it safe, you can take some K zone shots and save yourself some rounds. Yeah, so we're pretty excited about that. Then after that, kind of kicks off our year, I guess. We have Relentless Warrior, which is all the service academies, cadets in the service academies come and compete against each other up here in New Hampshire. So we have like Naval Academy, like West Point, and then some of the like Norwich, I want to say. I'm not going to go and list every school because I'll definitely miss some. But yeah, they all compete against each other in kind of a practical shooting type match. I'm going to be match directing that with Daniel Horner, one of the SIG pro shooters. So we're really excited about that. I guess that's always a fun time each year. That's going to be April 5th and 6th. We have our EDC championship in New Hampshire that we're going to be running in June. That's June 21st to 23rd. And that's kind of like what we're doing in Florida, but up here in New Hampshire. And that's a big match that we've run. I think this will be our third year in a row. But this year will be under our new rule set. Area 7 in July, we have that here at the Academy. Really excited about that one. Going to be a good kind of place to put us on the map as a kind of venue for major matches. So we're really excited to host Area 7. We're also looking at running our own Level 2 match in August. And it's going to be a carry optics and limited optics only match. So that should be pretty fun. Kind of, I enjoy matches where there aren't that many divisions because when you have a match with a lot of divisions, it can dilute the competition.
Right, but it allows you to tailor the stages to the particular guns that are going to be showing up. Like, it's really hard to make a match that's going to be hard for PCC. That's also adequately tailored for like the low cap divisions. So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So, funny example that you used there. But yeah, it's going to be pretty nice to be able to really have a dedicated match for two divisions of guns that are really very, very similar. Part of me was tempted just to make it a limited optics only match, just to see everybody shoot their carry optics guns, limited optics, and perform just as well. But I think we're going to keep it on two divisions. We're going to host a PCSL two gun major in September. Should be a pretty fun one. And then we have the Adaptive Defensive Shooting Summit in September, which is kind of what we were talking about before. So pretty full match schedule with major matches and then just yeah, 8 to 10 local matches each month also on top of that. It should be
Yeah,
fun.
that's really exciting. Yeah, you guys have a really full schedule, and there's quite a few events that off the top of my head, like I will be in Massachusetts around the time you guys are doing that EDC championship, so that may be something that I pop up for. But very cool. Anything else you want to share with the audience, just in terms of what you're doing up there? I mean, we've been pretty exhaustive. I feel like we've covered a lot of topics.
Yeah, I mean that's really the whole thing. I guess one thing that I kind of touched on, like we host a lot of training up here, obviously. And Scott and Sam, and the instructor team over there are really putting together some good competition classes. So they have the Shooting Sooner series, and they're always writing more classes to kind of help train our competitors better. So if you're looking at taking some good USPSA or practical shooting classes, check out what they're doing there. It's good training.
Yeah, it's definitely developing. If you follow SIG Academy on social media, you're seeing a lot more Scott Rader, which is always awesome. The bearded Scott Rader. So yeah, you guys are doing amazing things over there, and we always appreciate you coming on the podcast and talking about what's going on up at SIG. So hey, for our listeners, if you have questions about the SIG match schedule, you can find it on Practice Corps. Hit up Chris. Hit us up. We'll get you the information. Hopefully, you get up there. It's a really great facility. I've taken a class up there. Really good time. Really top quality matches and also classes as well. Let us know how we're doing, and we'll catch you on the next one.